Dear podcast listener, before we get to our new episode, just a moment about what we do here at Latino USA and how you can help support us. So I'm in the studio with the one and only Antonia Cerejido, producer for Latino USA. Antonia, hello.
Hi, Maria.
So it's been a pretty incredible year, huh?
Yeah, we met Pitbull.
You were not going to give up until we got that interview. But we did it. It was a great interview.
One of the most surreal days of my life.
So why did you want to do that interview? And what does that kind of mean for you in terms of your work for Latino USA?
Well, I think that one of the things I most value about Latino USA is how we really cover a wide spectrum of Latinidad and what that experience is here in the U.S. And so obviously, immigration is in the news a lot. We talk a lot about important policy issues that are impacting the lives of Latinx across the country. But as you know, I'm a big fan of some of our pop culture segments, and that's sort of where a lot of times my critical eye turns towards.
You also did a story that took months to do. It was the story of an undocumented family in New York. Tell us a little bit about why you wanted to do this story.
I think when it comes to representation, on the radio, we think of, like, who is it that we're listening to? And so often we do stories about people who are undocumented, who are documented. I think it meant a lot that we were pitched somebody who wanted to tell their own story, and we gave them sort of the tools and the space to construct their own narrative. Because representation is not just an issue of who we as a show decide to cover, but also who we have working for us and getting the opportunity to tell their own story, not mediated by a reporter, but in their own words. And I think that that was a very moving experience to work so closely with someone who was doing a lot of difficult and deep interrogation into their own life.
We thank you so much, Antonia, for bringing so much love and professionalism to your work at Latino USA every day.
Thank you, Maria.
So as we're getting to the end of the year, it's really a good time to think about contributing. And, you know, just think about all the great stories that we brought you in 2019. And so when you make an end of the year gift to your NPR station, you'll be supporting the stations and the stories that matter to you. So support Latino USA and support your local public radio station by donating today. Visit donate.npr.org/Latino USA. And thank you. Gracias. From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, my conversation with ranchera rising star Ángela Aguilar. We are saying goodbye to this decade with our New Year's tradition of bringing you one of our favorite music stories from the year. Now, if anyone is the descendant of ranchera royalty, it's Ángela Aguilar. When we spoke with her in early 2019, she was 15, and she'd already forged her own singing career, that with the blessing of her father, the respected ranchera singer Pepe Aguilar.
Me vas a extrañar. No puedo jurar.
Her grandfather, Antonio Aguilar.
Yo sé.
And her grandmother, singer Flor Silvestre.
Voy a morirme sola, sin molestar a nadie. Voy a morirme lejos, cuando mi amor se acabe.
Ángela got her start singing on the road with her father. She was already a well-established name in Mexican regional music, but then she was introduced to a larger Latinx audience when she was asked to sing her rendition of La Llorona at the 2018 Latin Grammys, and there she received a standing ovation. She was nominated for 2 Latin Grammys that year, and in 2019, Ángela was up for her first Grammy Award. Her album, Primero Soy Mexicana, competed in the category of Best Regional Mexican Music Album. She didn't take home the award, but Ángela is just getting started. In our conversation, I asked Angela about repping Mexico, her social media love affair, and how she found her singing voice. Angela Aguilar, welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Speaking of that Latin Grammys performance, that moment, that was kind of huge. I mean, again, you are ranchera legacy. Probably everybody knew about Pepe Aguilar's little girl. And you're like royalty because of that. But the Latin Grammy moment, when you chose to sing La Llorona, was really kind of your introduction to a much larger Latino-Latina audience in the United States. So did it feel like that to you? Did it feel kind of like tu momento de presentación, even though it wasn't your quinceañera, but kind of like, oh my God, she's being presented now to the world?
Pues, sí. Yes and no. Because 6 hours before the actual, like, Grammy celebration, I was still thinking of, like, my harmonies, and I was thinking of all of those things, and then I was like, wait, Natalia Lafourcade, my father, like, Daddy Yankee, Maluma, Cristian Nodal, like, it was just, like, a huge, huge thing for me, and I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? But then, like, I did the red carpet with my dad, and I felt, like, so at home. I felt like, because I've already done those things. So, like, it wasn't, like, my first time going to the Grammys. Like, I've always gone with my dad. My dad has 4 Mexican, like, Latin Grammys, and he has 5 American Grammys. So I was kind of used to that already. And when I was there, like, the producers knew me. The people that were helping me with, like, my dresses and everything, they knew who we were. And I guess that made me feel more at home, and it was easier for me to, like, conquer that moment on stage. Not so much as a presentation, but just trying to sing well for people that I always looked up to.
You were just 3 years old the first time that you went on stage, and it was in front of 80,000 people.
Well, it was kind of crazy. Like, of course, I was, like, a little girl. I didn't really know how much that was. And I was singing a song with my grandfather, Antonio Aguilar, and my grandmother, Flor Silvestre, and my father, Pepe Aguilar, and my uncle, Antonio Aguilar Hijo. And everyone was, like, chilling. And I was just here, standing next to my dad. I knew that nothing was going to happen to me or anything, but I was just like, these are a lot of people. This is really cool. And I sang a little part of Tristes Recuerdos, which is a song of my grandfather.
El tiempo pasa.
I only said 2 words, but I was 3, okay? I think that was even too much for a 3-year-old, but I sang that, and ever since then, I just, like, loved it. And my dad, obviously, he was teaching me all of these things, so he would give me, like, exercises to do to work on my voice, and I went into an opera conservatory when I was 5. I just had a lot of help, and I'm really grateful.
Yo no he perdido la esperanza de tenerte entre mis brazos y es el día de llegar. Desde hace mucho que me gustas y lo que me gusta tengo con toda seguridad.
So is it true that when you were 3, 4, 5 years old, like, you had already decided you were going to be a singer?
Yeah, I don't even think I knew what the word was or anything, but I knew that I wanted to be something like that. I also, like, saw my grandma and I saw my grandpa and I saw my dad. Like, it was so cool how they could make a person suddenly super happy or super sad, depending on the song. Mm. You know, I just love that. They're storytellers. They tell stories through songs. I don't know. I guess since I was very, very little, I've always really liked stories, and it's been a true honor to become a storyteller of my own.
You were born in L.A., but you were raised part of the time in Mexico?
Yes.
What was your life like? Like, what do you remember in terms of where you were going to school? Because it sounds like you were on a tour bus starting at a really young age.
Actually, I don't really remember. But what I do know is that we lived in this place in Mexico City where all of my teachers would come to my house. So I would never leave my house. But I would have a jazz teacher. I would have an instrument teacher, like either it was guitar, bass, piano. I play the piano. or any other thing that we wanted to play. Then we would have a history teacher, a science teacher.
Was it like, oh my God, please, why am I doing this? I'm going to be a singer. Or were you like, oh, yeah, sure, a break from singing?
No, well, I'm still at school. Like, I'm a freshman right now. And I'm, like, taking advanced courses and everything. And I really like school, honestly. I think it's the best. Because, like, you go to a specific place to learn. And you learn about everything. You learn about history, science, math, English, like, your capacity of learning, it's limitless. And that's amazing. That honestly is such a great opportunity for me. I go to school here in LA right now where basically they make a study plan for you based on what you like to do. So last semester, I studied tattoos because I just thought it was a cool aspect to see. And like my grandmas are against it so much. And my dad likes them. My mom doesn't. My sister has one. My brother doesn't. Like,
and you?
It's like this very of course not. Oh my God, that's illegal.
Well, then we're the same in that. I have no tattoos. So what did you learn after studying tattoos for an entire semester? Like, what's the takeaway?
I don't know. I guess my conclusion from all of this is that you need to know what you're putting on your body. It can't just be a Japanese symbol that you find cool. Like, you have to know. And I think your body is your temple and you have the right to do whatever you want with it. But you just have to be conscious that there is going to be consequences for whichever action you take. If it's you drink a water bottle, okay. Or you put on a lipstick, or you paint your nails a certain color. Like, everything that you do affects you. So you just have to be really conscious about that.
There was something in you that understood that what you wanted to do was, like your family, it wasn't just singing. It was singing with strong, strong vocals and a lot of drama.
I could sing regular songs and I could sing normal songs and things that don't really challenge me. But what's the fun in that? Like, why are you in life? Just to be comfortable and to be in your comfort zone. Like, you have to get out a little bit.
Quiero ser libre, vivir mi vida con quien yo quiero. Dios, dame fuerza. Estoy muriendo por irlo a buscar. Ya agarraste por tu cuenta las parrandas.
I always try to be at the top of my potential, and even though, like, sometimes, like, I've performed many, many times where I would have a sore throat or where, like, something was wrong with me. Tenía una infección en la garganta or something. And that also affected me because all of my songs were, like, powerhouse vocals, like, super, super, like, high pitches and, like, harmonies and, like, everything. And sometimes that wasn't good for me. So I have to find, like, a little balance where I sing songs that are cool and that don't take too much of my voice, and then some where I can just be free, you know?
What does that mean to you when you're like, I just want to be free in my music?
I've started to write my own music, and I think it's, like, this whole new aspect that I didn't really think about, you know? Like, because it's honestly super cool to be able to record covers and to record songs that people have already sang before me, because it's kind of a way that I can honor them, you know, through my voice. But it would be really cool if I could do something of my own.
And what language comes most naturally?
Honestly, Spanish. But I also write in English. And I'm kind of trying to start writing in French because I'm taking French in school. And I think it would be really cool to sing in French.
A French ranchera. That could be really interesting.
That would be so weird.
I'm trying to think of one. Je t'aime beaucoup.
Paloma.
Coming up on Latino USA, we talk more with Ángela Aguilar about her 2018 album, Primero Soy Mexicana, and her first Grammy nomination. Stay with us. No te vayas.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, they step in to act. In emergencies and their aftermath, they provide essential health care, run hospitals and clinics, perform surgery, battle epidemics, carry out vaccination campaigns, and more. Information on their efforts and campaigns in over 70 countries can be found at doctorswithoutborders.org.
What does it take to start something from nothing? And what does it take to actually build it? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on How I Built This, I speak with founders behind some of the most inspiring companies in the world. NPR's How I Built This, listen now.
Hey, we're back, and we're going to continue our conversation with singer Ángela Aguilar. Your new album, it's called Primero Soy Mexicana.
Yes.
And, you know, there's something really beautiful about kind of being very Mexican and kind of proud Mexican. There's also, like, some criticisms of being too nationalistic, especially in this moment in history. But I'm wondering, for you, as a young quinceañera, why is it so important for you to say, primero soy mexicana, first of anything, I'm Mexican?
Well, because there are a lot of people that are like, oh, but you were born in Los Angeles. Like, that's not...
Wait, you mean you get that?
Yeah, of course.
So you'll be like, so give me an example of what that looks like.
So I would be like, in an interview or something, and I would be talking about my CD, and they were like, oh, but you were born in Los Angeles. And I'm like, yes, I was born in Los Angeles. That's good that you know that. But like, it doesn't take from me being Mexican or not. Like, that's just a place that people have decided that it's called Los Angeles, and a place that people have decided that it's the United States of America. It's not where my ancestors are from. It's not where I came from, you know? So, like, even if I was born in the United States, that doesn't make me any less Mexican or any more Mexican.
I really love what you're doing. Tienes como una frescura. Like, it's very fresh. It feels very honest. I watched this vlog video that you put up just a couple of days ago. It's already got, like, probably over 80,000 views at this point. It's super well edited. Who is it that's kind of working with you on the social media? And how do you kind of manage the fact that there is this social media world that we live in?
I think social media is part of my job. Of course, I love to be on Instagram and watch videos of cats playing all day. Like, it's really cool and it's pretty funny. But also, I see it as a way to transmit to my audience where I'm at in my life. So I will be like, hey, I have a press day today, so come with me to my press day. And I'll take them here. I'll record a video here. I'll show them the microphone. I'll show them where I am, how I'm dressed, who I'm with.
Hola a todos, ¿cómo están? Oigan, para este vlog, queremos hacer algo un poco más para que ustedes me puedan acompañar en mi día. Así que hoy tenemos un...
Stuff like that, and like, I think of it like a tool for my job.
And are you doing the editing or do you have somebody who works with you?
Oh my gosh, I tried to do the editing the other day.
You feel my pain?
I was there for like a week. Oh my gosh. And like, it was a makeup tutorial, which I haven't posted because the editing was terrible. But at the end of the day, I am 15. And even though I talk like a 50-year-old, like I still, like I still like things that little girls like. So I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do today? How are we going to get little girls to like this? Or like, what do I think that I would like to see from a different YouTuber? So I'm like, okay, I'm on the road, and I always get bored when I'm on the road because I have nothing to do and there's usually no signal. So in the last vlog that I recorded, it was like, what to do when you're bored and on the road. And then my last one was Premios Banda Max. And then the other one was 50 Things About Me. And then the other one was like, I'm just doing things so people can get to know me better, so they can understand why I am the way I am.
Yo quiero que me comprendas lo que ahora voy a decirte. Más espero que me entiendas que no es mi intención herirte.
Sometimes stars are like, don't touch me. I'm a star. I'm a diva. And it's like, you're the opposite. You're saying, yeah, I've got this really cool life and I'm going to bring you in so you can be here right next to me. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'm also saying, like, even if you think that my life is so cool, like, of course I have problems, you know, like, of course, like, and they can see the human side of me. I'm not just like this plastic Barbie that's just like happy all the time and with a coffee in hand all the time and just going to Starbucks every single day. Like, that's not who I am. Like, I also have finals and I'm a teenager, so I get mood swings and like I fight with my parents and like I fight with my siblings. I want another dog. Like, I want another horse. Like, things like that. Like, of course, like, there's some things that like most people don't share on social media because they always want to seem like they're untouchable, like you said. With me, I feel like the more human you are, the better it is for you. Because if you make a mistake, then what's going to happen? Like, your whole plastic empire is going to go down.
Right.
And with me, if I make a mistake, I just laugh and I post about my mistake, you know?
So I know you've got a busy, I don't know, how many interviews are you doing today?
I have no idea.
But more
but
than
what
one.
I do know, but more than one. What I do know is that I'm going to go for my dress fitting for the Grammys. So that's going to be fun.
Ooh. Well, felicidades. Congratulations on being nominated for a Grammy. It's
Thank
the best
you.
Regional Mexican music album. I'm looking at your Instagram right now, and I'm looking at the post where you shared that you were nominated. And you're wearing un vestido de Tijuana. I mean, very Frida Kahlo, hasta con, you know, with the necklace, the hair up in flowers. You've got your little Buddha bracelets on, so I see that you've got, like, little Buddha bracelets going on.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're kind of rocking like, yo, I'm a little bit of Frida right here.
Yeah, exactly. That was my inspiration completely, because, like, I'm a huge fan of Frida. I'm a huge fan of everything that she does. And, like, in my room in Mexico, I have, like, almost all of my pillows have her face on it. I just really like her. I feel like she's like the Mexican woman that I want to be. So like honoring my traditions and everything, but putting a little twist and doing what I want to do. When I performed in the Latin Grammys and I was wearing a traditional dress, a traditional Mexican dress, but I put Swarovskis in it and I put a crinoline and I put a corset in it, still using those things that make it a traditional dress, just making it my own and making it a little bit more for a little girl, because I am 15.
It is a weird thing, isn't it, that you, 15 years old, me, well over 50, you born in LA, me born in Mexico City, that we feel in the year 2019 that to say, soy mexicana, to say I'm Mexican actually carries a lot of weight. It's not like before when, no, soy mexicana. It's like, soy mexicana. Do you feel that way?
Of course I do. Like, specifically with, I'm not going to get into politics because my parents always don't let me get into politics.
Okay, a little, a like little.
That's like a red zone. But what I'm going to say is that in order to represent a country, you need to honor everybody in the country. And you need to honor what this country is based on. And I feel like by the person that's leading our country right now is not honoring those things, I think it gives people a little like free pass on disrespect just because you're a different ethnicity than other people. So I think it's something very important to be proud of where you came from, especially right now.
Cada día que amanece, yo quiero verte.
Ángela Aguilar, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been a true pleasure.
Ángela Aguilar is a Grammy-nominated singer. Her latest album is Primero Soy Mexicana, and you can catch her on her U.S. tour starting in February.
Yo no sé cómo explicarte con palabras lo que siento, pero aparte de adorarte, yo te admiro y te respeto. El mejor padre yo tengo y a Dios gracias doy por eso. Quisiera seguir tus pasos porque tú eres mi.
This episode was produced by Antonia Cerejido and edited by Sofia Paliza Carr. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Alisa Escarce, with help from Chini Montalvo and Joanne De Luna. Our senior editor is Fernanda Camarena. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Additional engineering this week by Leah Shaw. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our digital team includes Julio Ricardo Varela and Amanda Alcantara. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure you stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians. The Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. And the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
That's literally me whenever my parents ask me, Angela, what did you say in the interview? Nothing. I didn't get into politics, but I did.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, we kick off the new decade with a How I Made It mixtape, from boleros and electronic dance music to bachata. How I Made It, next time on Latino USA.